सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। So today we will see the summary of chapter 16 of the Bhagavad Gita, Daivasura Sampat Vibhaga Yoga, the yoga of distinction of divine and demoniac nature. Daiva, divine, Asura, demoniac, and Sampati means wealth, nature, character. Daiva, Asura, Sampat Vibhaga Yoga, the distinction between Daiva and Asura Sampati. Now, all of us are interested in earning something. Most of us spend our life in just earning a living. Now, in the Gita, many places Sri Krishna says, living, earning a living is a child's play. He doesn't say it is, He doesn't say it is easy. But he says, you don't have to sell your personality like this. So he says here in this chapter 16 and also 17, the qualities that is essential to achieve the goal. This is what we call as paradigm shift. See, there's a very interesting story of an archer who was a very well accomplished archer. He used to hit about 95, 96 out of 100 bullseye. He came to know of somebody who is hitting 100 out of 100. So he said, let me talk to him. We got an appointment with him and then met him and discussed with him. He said, I'm a very well accomplished archer, but I'm able to only achieve about 95, 96 out of 100. How come you are, I'm told you hit 100 out of 100. How is this possible? Impossible. And you don't seem to come out and compete in any tournament, so you're not known that. So what is this? So please tell me the secret. He said, okay, I'll tell you the secret, but you got to give me a promise. What is it? What about, sign on a clause. Agreement. He said, okay, I'll do that. The sign. He said, see, the secret is very simple. You draw the target and then shoot. What I do is I shoot and then draw the target around it. So all of us do the same thing. Mahatma Gandhi says, find a purpose, the means will follow. It's a very, very interesting quotation that he gives. He says, find a purpose, means will follow. All our life, we are running after the means without any purpose. So the four goals that the scriptures talk about. The four goals are dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. In the beginning, you need artha, wealth, material wealth. Then you need entertainment, enjoyment, kama. Then there will come a time when you understand that these are all limited, insufficient, can only get me the worldly stuff. I need to cross above this and get to something meaningful. All this is learned from Dharma Shastra. So, next is Dharma. Therefore, you need Dharma. And through that, you go to moksha. So dharma, moksha means freedom, liberation, ultimate self-realization. So dharma, artha, kama, moksha, the four goals of human being. Now, if this is the goal, then that is clear. Everything that will help me reach the goal becomes what I am supposed to be. I need to gather those wealth. What kind of people? That is also wealth. You know, wealth is not just material wealth. What kind of books are there in your house? What kind of books have you read? What kind of people around you? What kind of emotions do you have? In fact, that wealth actually is exposed now during difficult times. In fact, one or two places where they have, you know, asked me to come and give a talk, everywhere now in this COVID situation is about this handling these difficult times. Even in this Y flow, they asked me for a few topics. When I gave the topics, they said, sir, we just want, with your permission, add one more line to the topic. What is it? Especially during difficult times. Especially during COVID times. Everything especially. Parenting, especially COVID time. Relationship, especially COVID time. Why? Because everybody is sitting at home, there is more problem coming at you. So especially COVID times, how to relate? Everybody's, you know, blood pressure is high. So how to deal with the situation? Difficulty. In difficult times, the wealth that you have accumulated, you will know the worthiness of it. Isn't it? The skill, the intelligence, the experience that Arjuna had was worthless in a crisis moment. This is the, in fact, before Sri Krishna gave Bhagavad Gita, which is from verse 11, chapter 2, in chapter 2, he speaks two verses, but that is not Gita. He actually stings Arjuna with powerful words. He says, Putastva kashmalamitam vishame samupastitam anarya dushtam ashvarjyam akirtikaramartam. What are you doing, man? In a crisis situation like this, sitting down and crying, when you are supposed to stand up and deliver, this is not what a leader does. Klaidyam masmagam apartha, naitadvayu papadyate, shudram hudayadavurbalyam, jaktuva tishta parantapa. So what is the inner strength? That is the wealth. So when you say difficult, for whom it is difficult? Now, last few days, children have been getting results. You know, 10th standard and 12th standard children have been getting results. Some say very difficult. Some say very easy. Some say so-so. Now, what do you mean? The same question paper given to all the children. Same question paper, same time. Some say very difficult. Some say very easy. Why? Because you are prepared. So all your life, what have you been collecting as well? What are your external wealth and what are your inner wealth? That is the question. That is what he is asking here in this chapter. That is the analysis. That is extremely important. 40, 50, 60 years of our life, what have you been accumulating? That wealth, that sampadhyam, is it daiva, which will help you to understand dharma better, acquire and enjoy better, and rise above them and go towards moksha, or something that will give you mental disturbance, agitations, there is neither harmony within nor harmony without, and does it make you stagnate and devolve, or does it help you evolve? That's the question. See, in life there has to be growth, not swelling. So certain things that you gather is a swelling rather than a growth. So what have you been accumulating? Depends on your goal. If something will help me to reach the goal, I need to get that. That will help me to proceed in my path. But something that will take me away, stagnate me or devolve me, I should desist from that. Those are asura sampati. They are rakshasic in nature. They destroy my peace. They destroy my happiness. They don't help me to achieve success or even if they help me to achieve success, they will really make me go through mental stress and strain. So I need to therefore analyze. And if these are my goals, then I need to develop Daiva Sampatti. So just because it is available free, I don't just collect it. What does it cost to me? How does it affect me or help me? I need to weigh the pros and cons. So in this portion, especially from 13 to 18, is now emphasizing on jnana. So therefore you need Daiva Sampatti. Only if you have Daiva Sampatti, you become qualified to gain jnana. Otherwise, you are not qualified. If you are too agitated, disturbed, restless, whatever knowledge is given, it will be like water sprinkled on a hot plate. It will immediately evaporate. It will be of no use. You need to have these qualities. This preparation is very important. So difficult, when you say, it is difficult for people who are mentally not prepared. It is easy for people who are mentally prepared. That's all. So if you have prepared yourself with gaining this Daiva Sampatti, you will not succumb to this difficult situation. If you have been collecting only Asura Sampatti, difficult situation comes, you'll be finished. So therefore, what have you been collecting? Is it Daiva Sampatti or Asura Sampatti? And Jnana Yogyata is very important if you want to gain knowledge. And knowledge alone will set you free. Nothing else will set you free. You can go do whatever you want, collect anything that you want. Nothing will set you free in life. The only thing that will set you free is knowledge. Because the world is certainly uncertain. The only thing that is certain is uncertain. If that is what it is, then what will actually save you is only this knowledge. But the problem is we invest in everything else. And especially when we are young, we will certainly invest in all this nonsense. Then when we become old, we suddenly realize, but also not everyone, some of us realize that I have wasted my life. Now I have to collect something else. But now there is no energy to collect that because my body has become old and my mind is incapable of learning new things. Not possible. Even today, I have been living in Delhi now since 2005. I can't speak Hindi. My son will speak very good Hindi. I think so. But I don't know Hindi, so I think he is speaking good Hindi. So what I'm saying is, when you become old, your faculties don't cooperate. Udana Shakti, you will lose. You will not be able to have the capacity to absorb. So, therefore he says, you know, the qualities of divine versus qualities of demonic. This analysis he does in this chapter, especially because if you want to lead a happy, prosperous, successful life and go to absolute freedom, moksha, you need to collect, gather, invest in divine qualities. So, from verse number 1 to 6, back from 1 to 3, he talks about divine qualities. Then he talks about demoniac qualities. So 1 to 6 qualities of divine and demoniac. From verse 7 to 15, the nature and conduct of demoniac person. Demoniac's nature and conduct. What is their inner nature and how do they conduct themselves? When they meet the world, what is the conduct that comes forth of a demoniac person, asuric person? And what are the consequences of behaving demoniac? That is discussed from 16 to 21. The demoniac sinks to the lowest hell. they deteriorate. The quality of life shrinks, becomes poor. Like they go on sinking. They not only stagnate, but they also devolve. The demoniac sink to the lowest hell from 16 to 21. Then 22 to 24, the divine rise to the highest goal, moksha. The divine qualities help a person to rise to the highest goal. And in this portion, he emphasizes the importance of shastra. And when you talk about the importance of shastra, automatically two other aspects come. What will the shastra take you to? The shastra will take you to the highest good. If you remember when Arjuna surrendered to Sri Krishna, he asked for Shreya, not Preya. Isn't it? A wise person will ask for Shreya. Unwise person will ask for Preya. Shreya means what is good for you. Preya means what is pleasant for you. And Shastras always talk about what is good for you. What is good for you today, tomorrow, day after, permanently? What are you actually seeking? What will be beneficial to you permanently is what the Shastras talk about. And what will be beneficial to you permanently is to get back to your inner self. The Shastras point the direction towards the Atma. So God or Atma, divinity. And the Shastras are little tricky to understand. They are very cryptic. You need to decipher correctly. So you need a guru. So a guru who is selfless, who's reached that goal, is able to interpret the Shastra correctly to you. A lot of knotted verses in the Bhagavad Gita also. For example, if you see verse number 10 of chapter 1, then verse number, you can say 21, 22 of chapter 1, then verse number 16 of chapter 2, verse number 69 of chapter 2. You can go on like that. Now when you read these verses, they are little naughty. Not N-A-U-G-H-T-Y. It is K-N-O-T-T-Y. It's little, contradictory. Especially the verse that he talks about in the 18th chapter. He says that the contact-born enjoyments are pleasurable in the beginning, painful in the end. Sattvic happiness is painful in the beginning, pleasurable in the end. Now you need guru to explain to you to understand these things. When you go to Upanishads, there are a lot more verses like this. So, guru, shastra, and atma. The divine qualities a person has, he will be giving importance to these three. And through the help of Guru, he will study the scriptures and follow the injunctions of the scriptures and reach the goal, attain moksha. So therefore, in this portion, 22 to 24, he talks about the importance of studying and following the Shastra. I already explained to you many times, Shastra means teach and protect. The most expensive way of learning is through experience. Isn't it? Wise learn from others' experience, fools from their own. The most expensive way of learning. In fact, many fools don't even learn from their own experience. Very difficult. Because the mind is extroverted. since the mind is extroverted, it will see easily the mistakes of the other person. It will be very, very difficult to see one's own mistake. However, we guard the mistake maybe, which is within us. We fail to see it. That is why in the poem Turkey and the Ant, the poet says, ere you remark another sin, with thy own conscience and look within. Control thy more voracious bill, nor for a breakfast nation's skill. There is a turkey that is eating nation of ants for breakfast, and it is criticizing human being for eating turkey once in a year on Christmas Eve. So he says, your blemish is far, far greater, yet you don't see it. You are blaming human beings for a comparatively smaller crime. Therefore, he says, before you criticize others, ere you remark another sin, with thy own conscience and look within, turn within, control thy more voracious bill, nor for a breakfast nation's food. For one breakfast, you are killing a nation of ants. What about lunch and dinner? Therefore, the Shastras always help us to turn introvert. Thus, by turning, making us turn introvert, it helps us to reach the highest goal. So, divine rise to the highest goal by keeping association with Guru Shastra. So, he says, therefore, it's extremely important what qualities do you pick up. At the perception level, at the action level, at the emotion level, at the thought level, at all levels, what are you gathering as well? At the perception level, for example, do you have the ability to control and direct your senses? Do you have the ability to end perception with perception or not? Do you practice self-restraint? Now, in the second chapter, we studied about this. Atma vashye vidhey atma prasadam adhigacchati. See, what happens is, the three transactions of life that we all go through, called receipt, reaction and response. Our five senses receive the stimuli from the world outside, and they react within, and then we send out response back to the world outside. We are all like a mini industry, which is manufacturing. So the raw material from the world outside enters the factory, which gets processed within the factory, and then the end product is sold back into the world, sent back to the world for marketing. So from the world we receive the stimuli, it reacts within, and then we send back the response back to the world. Just like an industry gets the raw material from the world, processes it in the factory, and the finished product is sold back into the market. The same thing is happening in us. So therefore, a demonic person starts at the a divine person starts at a perception level. Qualities. The quality in a divine person is self-restraint. In a demonic person, no self-restraints, nothing. Kau piyo majako. That's the whole thing in a demonic person. So, he says, the quality at the perception level. What I should perceive, what I should not perceive, again in line with the goal. I already explained to you. How do you determine that? A divine person knows, if I have to reach this goal, I need to focus on my health. This is very important. So, therefore, he will see what is good for health, what is not good for health. Not just physical health, mental health also. Gossip is extremely dangerous for mental health, but it is very entertaining. अच्छा उसके बाद क्या हुआ? What happened after that? You feed it. You're curious. But having received all the information, you are sitting and getting agitated. So therefore, a divine person at the physical level, at the perception level, practices self-control. Firstly, what should go in, what should not go in. Secondly, after having gone in, ending perception with perception. This is very important. See, what does a demonic fellow do? That is easy for us to understand. Then the opposite divine will do. What does a demonic do? As soon as he wakes up, indulges in the senses. No control, what is needed, what is not needed. No goal only, what is the question of what is needed and done. Then, the whole indulgence, he will mentally relive. This is like cows ka-chewing, you know. They go into the pasture field. The pasture field, they go and then they eat the grass. They come back to the shed. And after they come back to the shed, what do? They re-bring it, they bring it the whole thing out and then cut you. This is what we are also doing. Mentally go on indulging. And mentally when we indulge, what happens? What happens? We increase the vasanas, the desires. And when we increase the desires, what happens? Whatever you have accumulated will not be enough. You will be having discontentment. But what was the reason you went after the world? You thought once I acquire, I'll become content. But the fact that you mentally indulge, you become discontented, agitated. And that agitation will show in your words, in your deeds, which will destroy the harmony outside. Your relationships will be spoiled. Therefore, a divine person starts at the perception level with self-restraint. And at the action level, and once having perceived, he will control and not indulge mentally. And once he comes to the action level, the impulses that drives our actions are controlled by the divine person. See, it doesn't allow the impulses to propel the action. We do impulsive actions. A divine person doesn't do impulsive actions. A divine person knows the pros and cons of selfish and senseless actions. He works on his attitude and moves from selfish to unselfish to selfless actions. Actions without doership. Whereas a demonic person does everything selfishly for selfish purpose and with the doership attitude. Tremendous ego. That's how he functions. So with our physical personality, we perceive and act. With our emotional personality, we feel various emotions. With our intellectual personality, we think various thoughts. So at the physical personality level, a divine person follows self-restraint and no impulsive actions, no doership he gives into while doing the action. And no result orientation while doing the action. The action is done for the sake of the action. Result is a byproduct. Now, when you come to the feelings, emotions, the divine person has mature emotions. He has emotional maturity. He has purified the inner personality. What is the maturity? Lord Buddha says, if you want to say something, ask yourself before saying, control that impulse. You know? Control the impulse. Before saying, ask these questions. Whatever you are going to say, is it truth? Is it beneficial to the speaker and to the receiver? Has it been verified whether it is factual or not? How beneficial is it going to be? And is it going to make that person happy? And you? Or is it just going to keep you excited? Having asked these questions, then speak. So, the discipline at the speech level will come under the action. Speech is an organ of action. But when the action is coming out, the emotion that is backing is pure. In the case of a divine person. In the case of a demonic person, no question, nothing. It is exciting for me. And it will agitate the other fellow. Say that. And draw that, that temporary happiness by hurting the other person. So, there is an emotional maturity, purity of emotions. Clean emotions, love, kindness, compassion, charity, charitable. See, charity, when I say, or when Krishna says that charity is one of the qualities of a divine person, what we need to understand is, it is not that the whole life you do all sorts of nonsense and then once a week or once in a month you keep doing charity. Through the nonsense you create poverty. And then you go and do charity for the sake of, to be known in the world as a charitable person. No. Charity means, if they say charity begins at home, charity means each and every action is underlined by the charitable attitude. You don't take more than what is necessary. You don't partake of what, you don't consume anything for which you have not contributed. So the values, these are the pure emotions and forgiveness. It talks about forgiveness, harmlessness, absence of anger, sacrifice, renunciation. All these values and purity at the emotional level. Being satisfied with what has been achieved out of hard work. Not being jealous of what others have got from their labor. Uncovetousness, gentleness, modesty. Goes on and on. And then at the thought level, extremely, extremely clear what ought to be feared, what ought not to be feared. Fearlessness, abhaya, there is no fear in the divine person. If fear comes, reasons for fear, when you analyze, what are the reasons for fear? Otherness. When you have otherness, there is fear. When you go to some other country, everyone looks strange. It's fear. And the moment you get into the flight and you see a lot of your countrymen in the flight, some kind of secure feeling comes. Fear comes from otherness. Fear comes from ignorance. Unknown. Fear comes from destructive nature. A destructive person will have fear. A person who is not destructive in nature is very comfortable. Ego causes fear. So these are few reasons for fear. So in the case of a divine person, he's taken care of all this, so therefore no fear. He handles the ego very well with the knowledge. Because a divine person understands the importance of self-study, daily studying, investment in the Shastra. That investment in the Shastra, a divine person does. As a result, the divine person has purified the inner personality, the emotions and thoughts. Whereas a demoniac person has not done any of this. Therefore, in thought, word and deed, he suffers. Firstly, there is no congruence in thoughts, words and deeds. There is no uprightness. A lot of ostentation. Dambha, the very main quality of a demoniac fellow, showing off. There is no self-control, impulsive actions he gives into, egoistic actions, selfish actions, impure emotions and thoughts, no higher values whatsoever. And then Sri Krishna gives assurance to Arjuna. Arjuna, don't worry. You are a person of divine quality. Therefore, you have a possibility of reaching the highest. To be able to decipher what is given in the Shastra, you need a calm mind. One of the reasons we say, come and settle in the class 5-10 minutes early. You know? So that you can collect your thoughts. Extremely important. Or in a hurry, 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 when you come in, you will never be able to reach hurry. I told you, no, if you are in a hurry, you will never be able to reach hurry. The problem is we are constantly chasing mechanically, and that is the demoniac way of functioning. This he talks about from 7 to 15. Demoniac nature and conduct. A whole thing, only mantra they have is Kanchana Kamini. Kanchana Kamini means acquisition and enjoyment. That's all. All the time calculating, calculating, calculating what they have acquired, what they have acquired. External calculation. So, from 7 to 15, if you read, the demoniac fellows, they have absolutely no clarity. They don't know what ought to be done, what ought not to be done. It is complete delusion. When you are in delusion, you will believe your malefactor to be your benefactor and benefactor to be your malefactor. This is a problem. You will not have the clarity. You are deluded. Say that poet Kalidasa, before he became poet, he was delighted. He was apparently sitting on a branch of a tree and is cutting the very same branch from where it shoots. This is delusion. You will actually go to the extent of harming your benefactor. This is what Macbeth does. Macbeth and his wife, they plan and scheme and invite the King Duncan for a meal and poison. And in fact, the King Duncan is a benefactor. But they murder him. And after murdering, Macbeth says, Macbeth murdered sleep, murdered sleep. So this is the way the demoniac person lives. If you remember in the third chapter, he says, a rajasic person cooks but eats sin. They are constantly into acquisition and enjoyment, but they are permanently in agitation. So, a demoniac person doesn't know what is pravritti, what is nivritti. Action, inaction. What is to be done, what ought not to be done, absolutely no clarity. No purity, no good conduct, nothing is. Then, they don't see the substratum. They only go by the superficial impositions. They don't have the ability to see what is beyond. They don't have the clarity. A divine person, the fact that he is refined from within, is able to see the divinity beyond. Is able to see the dividends that come out of certain living. He's able to see the harm effects that come out of certain way of lifestyle. So therefore, they don't understand the substratum, the reality. They only go in acquiring and indulging and destroy themselves and destroy the world. And they are full of arrogance and pride and ego. Their only aim is to increase their material wealth and sensual enjoyments. Nothing more, nothing less. And they say, that's all, man. What is it? Everything is produced in, created in twos, male, female. So what? Keep on indulging. These are the literal words used in Bhagavad Gita. Hey, nothing else. So what are you talking about? They don't believe in law of karma, nothing. They don't understand. Then it is there, make merry. And constant agitation they go through. And then they calculate their gains. And even whatever they promise to be giving, the charities are also for future. This I will give. I will give. You know, very, very interesting. Swamiji has given this letter. Written to Earl of Chesterfield by Samuel Johnson. Samuel Johnson was the one who first released English dictionary. And Samuel Johnson, he always remembered this. Great artists and painters and poets, many of them. For example, Shakespeare also. They live in utter poverty. Their focus is more into art, paint, poetry and this and that. They are not focused in earning money. Now, Samuel Johnson was a genius, but he was in poverty, he didn't care. So he was just putting in efforts to, you know, write the English dictionary. Somebody told him, the Earl of Chesterfield is a philanthropist. Go to him. He'll help you to release your dictionary. In the beginning, you need somebody to push it. Afterwards, that sale will take care. So, he went. He was neither asked to come in, nor was he asked to go out. This is how the demonic fellow functions. You know. They will want to be known as philanthropists, but they can't part. You think it is yours. What you need to understand is it is given to you by the divinity. You are only a trustee. But a divine person understands this, but demonic fellow doesn't understand. He is holding on to it. He has that ownership. Therefore what? He will neither give, nor he will say he will not give. So this is what the Earl of Chesterfield did. And then, in the due course, Samuel Johnson, you know, struggled and wrote the dictionary, and he somehow published it also in his own small way. And after he came to know that a dictionary which Samuel Johnson had written was published, after that, Earl of Chesterfield writes a letter recommending that dictionary in a newspaper. So then, to Earl of Chesterfield, Samuel Johnson writes a beautiful, beautiful letter. It is there in the book, Swamiji's book, Select English Poems. Amazing, amazing letter. He says, you know, public should not understand that you had helped me. You know, he writes beautiful letter to him and then he publishes it. There he says, finally he says, with the help of the hand of divinity, I was able to complete the work. So public should not think, because you wrote this recommendation, public should not think that I owe any, you know, gratitude to you, obligation to you. Beautiful letter he writes. Go back and read it whenever you have time. So that demoniac fellows function like this. This I will give. This I will do. This I gain today. This enemy I destroy. That enemy I'll destroy tomorrow. This is how they function. Whole thing is egoistic, self-centered, impulsive, stubborn behavior. Future full of anxiety and excitement. So what is the consequence of such a living that he talks from 16 to 21? The consequence of such a living is what? They will not be able to enjoy their wealth. Nor will they allow the other fellows to enjoy. No, Swamiji says, once when he had gone to France for lecture, his host, he knew that Swamiji likes coffee. So he took him to, many, many years ago, he took him to a place where they sit on the roadside and have coffee, supposed to be done, famous in France. So he took him there, and then he ordered the coffee for both of them. And then when Swamiji was about to drink, oh my God, Swamiji! Last time I came, a few months ago, compared to that, they've increased it by $5. And he said, I was about to drink, I kept it. Then, next time he said, okay, let me drink now. And when he was about to drink, he said, each sip is $2, Swamiji. I said, well, this fellow is not allowing me to drink the coffee only. He said, before he could say anything, because coffee, you know, especially hot coffee, you should drink it hot. Before he could say something, he said, I simply gulped it. Neither will they enjoy, nor will they allow the other fellows to enjoy. Hoarding and hoarding and hoarding. So he says, the law of karma will come into effect on them. He said, I hurl them to the hell. I hurl them to the hell doesn't mean he is partial. What he means is the law will come to force. You got to pay back for what you have done. So he says, these cruel haters, worst of men, I hurl these evildoers forever in the worlds, only in demoniac wombs. What you sow, you reap. You can't get away from it. So Ishwara only takes care of the law. The law will finish you. You are punished or rewarded by your actions, not for your actions. There is nobody sitting up the clouds and punishing you. Swami Ramtita says there is nobody sitting. hell is three things he says: desire, greed, and anger. So the whole problem is enemy is desire. Four words he uses in third chapter for desire. Shatru, Vairinam, Nitya Vairinam, Paripantinam. All means enemies. So the problem is desire, the problem. What is desire? Unintelligent, unconscious, indiscriminate thought flow. Unintelligent, unconscious, indiscriminate thought flow is desire. And once you allow your thoughts to run amok, then what happens? They become desire, becomes greed. Then greed becomes fear. The desire is fulfilled, you develop greed and fear. When the desire is interrupted, you develop anger. You compare yourself with those who have more than you, you develop jealousy. You compare yourself with those who have less than you, you develop arrogance. All these are hell. So he says, triple is the gate. What? Desire, greed, and anger. Greed is one example he gives for modification after the desire is fulfilled. Anger is one modification when the desire is interrupted, unfulfilled. All these modifications are hell. Desire is hell. Because desire turns into obsession. You want more and more and more. You will be discontented and unhappy. You will neither achieve success. Obsession becomes an obstacle to achieve success. Perfection, siddhi, you will not achieve. Nor will you be happy now. Nor will you evolve spiritually and attain moksha. Neither will you be happy now nor in future. Nor will you achieve success, or even if you achieve success, you can retain it. So this is the consequence of demoniac actions. So he says, therefore, you got to control and direct your desires. And the shastras help you for that. Because by daily study of the shastra, you develop the intellect. Once you strengthen the intellect, you'll be able to direct your mind. Your mind becomes your friend, your mind becomes your enemy. If your intellect guides and controls your mind, it's your friend. If not, it becomes your enemy. Therefore, in this portion from 22 to 24, the divine rise to highest goal. How? By daily study and reflection. Therefore, in the end, Sri Krishna concludes, Shastram Pramanam. For you, Shastra, Tasmat Shastram Pramanam Te Karya Karya Vyavastitau. Go by the scriptures, fortify your intellect, surrendering to a guru and putting in the effort by daily self-study and reflection. Once you have fortified your intellect, then you will have the clarity as to what to be done, what ought not to be done. At perception, emotions and thought levels and action levels. Thus, what will you do? You will bring good to yourself. If not, you will destroy yourself. Therefore, he says, base your life on scriptures. Therefore, the scripture is your authority in determining what ought to be done and what ought not to be done. Having known what is pronounced in scriptural ordinance, you should perform action here. They give in to dharma. They invest in shastra. And therefore, they benefit. They rise. How? By controlling and directing the desires. Shastra helps for that. And nobody teaches you this. In fact, people put children in certain schools because they give contacts. And such schools will make you score such marks, which will help you to go to certain universities. And why certain universities? Again, good marks, good information system that you gather from there, good contacts and all that. What will it do? It helps you to gather more wealth, add more wealth. Right? And what happens? All along you've been catering to your desire. All along you cater to your desire and the desire becomes a monster. You have been fearing the monster. Now you have the knowledge to gather the wealth from the world outside and the monster within this combination is deadly. That is why Adi Shankara says, artham anartham bhaja govinda. Wealth is calamitous. Wealth calamitous meaning, if you don't know how to handle it, it's a calamity. You will destroy yourself. So you need to know how to handle desires. That's what the scriptures talk about. And once you handle your desires, develop your awareness, and a person who is aware lives his life. A person who is not aware is constantly chasing the object of desire, is leading a mechanical way of living. He is living like a sleepwalker. A sleepwalker will do everything, but he doesn't know what he's doing. We are all living our lives like that. A life at the end of the day, if we take and analyze, will be filled with regrets. If God gives us an opportunity to go back and live our last 30 years again, we would not probably want to do many things that we did. We probably want to do it in a different way. Why? Because we have not been leading a conscious life, a life of awareness. It has always been a desire-ridden life. And these desires make us run. Then what? You miss your life. So the price that we have paid for such a living is our life itself. We have not understood that. We are still not learning. So this is what he says. Therefore, Shastram is Pramanam. So the divine person rises to the highest goal by following the Shastra. And he converts his lifestyle according to the injunctions of the Shastras and benefits. Now this is the summary of chapter 16. Next week we'll see chapter 17 summary. Let's conclude. Om Purnamadha Purnamidham Purnat Purnamudhachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyaiva Buddhyatmana va Prakriti Swabhavat Karomi Adhyat Sakalam Parasmai Narayanaye Samarpayami. Hari Om. See you all next week.
Hari Om.